Welcome to Inside Independent Publishing with IBPA. I'm your host, Christopher Locke, and I'm also the IBPA Director of Membership and Member Services. Okay, so one of the topics that independent publishers and author publishers always ask about is Amazon. So Amazon is a juggernaut in the publishing industry, and publishers want to know how to succeed in that marketplace and, of course, complain about all the difficulties that Amazon throws their way. I'm an author publisher. I can relate. This year, another interesting thing we're going to talk about is Amazon's unveiled a new feature called A+ Content, which, if used properly, can be a helpful tool for publishers. So we have invited Amazon expert and i30 Media Corporation founder Ian Lamont. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going, Christopher?
Thank you. Thank you for calling us from the International Space Station. We appreciate it. if people are just listening to this, they're like, what is happening? I don't know. But that's what we have different things. We have the video and the audio version. Okay, so let's jump right in. What exactly is this Amazon A+ Content?
So A+ Content actually isn't a new thing. It's been around for a while. And if you're an Amazon seller of other things besides books, like electronic gadgets or a paintbrush or something like that, you've probably had access to it if you have your own brand on Amazon. And basically what it is it's rich content for your Amazon detail page. So a detail page is basically your product page, your book listing that shows the cover of the book. And until now, you've been able to have like a simple description of the book. It shows the price and things like that. Now, with A+ Content, there's additional types of things you can put on your detail page, including pictures, including bullet lists, including kind of comparison charts and things like that. So it really is an effective tool for making people more aware of the book that you're trying to sell. And one of the great things about it is, until recently, it was really restricted the types of publishers who could use it. Basically, you had to be in Amazon Vendor Central or Amazon Advantage and have a brand to use it. And now they've really opened it up to KDP publishers, which is a fantastic benefit for people who use KDP to publish their Kindle edition, their paperback, or their hardcover.
Yeah, and so if someone's going through, like, let's say Ingram Spark, and then it goes on to Amazon, they will not be able to use it unless they publish their book directly through Kindle Direct Publishing, right?
That's correct. So okay. I, for instance, have books where I publish paperback and Kindle through Amazon KDP, but the hardcover is currently through Ingram. Mm. So the hardcover version of this book, I cannot get A+ Content for that.
Okay, great. And just because I'm an author publisher, so I do upload my books directly through Kindle Direct Publishing. In terms of like your average indie publisher, do they also tend to use KDP, or is it normally they do it through Ingram, or it's just up to each individual one?
It really depends. I mean, I know that a lot of indie publishers, especially smaller presses, people who get started publishing on their own, just like I did, they use Amazon KDP to get started. But later on, they might move to some other platform or start using another platform. So like for myself, my company, we started publishing books by other authors. I use Amazon Advantage as well. Other people, they use Ingram. But for people who are kind of, you know, maybe they're not as experienced, or they've used KDP and they found it to be a great platform, like I do. This is just like another thing that you can use. It's a really effective tool, as I'll explain shortly. So yeah, I think this is a very positive development.
And I also then want to ask, I read that your title has to either be live or in pre-order to like add this content to the A+ Content, right?
Yeah, that makes sense, because they want to make sure that, you know, you have everything else lined up in addition to the rich content that you're going to need.
Okay, so you've used it, right? So then tell us, like, what have you been using it for? And it sounds like you really like it. So then what has been a positive outcome for you with using it?
Yeah. So A+ Content, one thing to keep in mind about any sort of content that you can put on your detail page. The detail page is really like the critical key to having any sort of success on Amazon. If your detail page does not meet expectations for potential readers, you're going to have problems. So when I talk to people about Amazon, I say it's not just one thing that matters to make an effective, to convert a prospective buyer to an actual buyer, but you need to have a good cover. You need to have a price that meets expectations. You need to have the book available in Amazon Prime. You need to have all of these things. If you have all those things already set up and then you add A+ to the mix, that really increases the chance, in my opinion, that the book will be able to sell, because you're giving people more insights into the book, more insights into why it's special. And also another thing to keep in mind is most publishers are not using A-plus content yet. So right away, if you're using A-plus content, your book will stand out a little bit. And that's an important thing. And that's why I think it's important for KDP publishers, and any publisher actually with access to A-plus content, whether it's Advantage or KDP, to really start looking into it and figuring out how they can make an effective A-plus presence for their detail page.
Yeah. And what have you done for your books, like specifically, so people can be like, oh, I want to do that too?
Yes. So I need to give a couple pros and cons for A-plus content. So one thing I said earlier is like, it could really help conversion rates. And I haven't been able to measure that, to be honest with you. But I think even if it's increasing the chance by a few percentage points that it's going to turn a prospective buyer into an actual buyer, that's a good thing. I think it especially suits books that are nonfiction. Mm. It especially suits books that are series. It does not really help books that are standalone fiction titles unless they have lots of visuals that go with it. And that's an important thing to understand about A-plus content. It's really oriented towards visual elements, especially images. And publishers and authors who only have one image, like their cover or maybe the picture of the author, I think they'll be kind of limited. Mm. That said, if you're a nonfiction publisher, if you're a children's book publisher, if you're a cookbook publisher, already you probably have lots of images that you can start to think about, well, how can I incorporate, I use them in the book, or I use them in some other part of my marketing plan, for instance, a social media marketing plan. How can I reuse these images on the A-plus content page? So I think that that's a really important thing. And finding, you know, a lot of people who've never done this before, they'll have no idea where to get started. Because you'll go to KDP, you'll click on marketing, you'll click on A-plus content, you'll select the marketplace, and then Amazon will throw these, what they call modules at you. And the module might be single image with text headline, or four comparison images, or a comparison chart. And you have no idea what they're talking about, but almost all of them require an image of some kind. And that's when you start thinking, gee, do I have any images that I can use? So if you're, like I said, if you're a children's book publisher, you're a cookbook publisher, you're a nonfiction publisher. One of my main brands on Amazon is how-to guides. So these how-to guides, they already have screenshots, conceptual diagrams, pictures in them that I can start using for my A-plus content. And that's great. But if you're not that type of publisher, or you don't have anything to go with, you don't have anything to use, you have to start really thinking out of the box. And for instance, for some fiction publishers and some nonfiction publishers who don't have any image assets yet, that's when they start thinking about either contracting someone to come up with some images, or even using stock photographs. And I've done that on some of my A-plus pages.
No, interesting. Yeah, because I was thinking that at IBPA, for example, we always recommend people use pros. So it does sound that especially for things like images and graphics, you know, if you're a publisher or you're an author who's then, you know, author publisher, graphic design might not be your number one, you know, great skill. So I do think it sounds like you should hire someone. It would be in your best interest to hire someone to help create some of these graphics. So that they just, when people go on your page, they want it to look, you know, professional. That's the whole point of this. So better to have something good than just to post whatever, anything, and then be like, well, hey, I did A-plus content now. And you're like, oh, yeah, the page looks worse.
Yeah, yeah. that's a really good point, Christopher, because I think it's possible for people to be, you know, scrambling around. I have to get something up there on my A-plus content. I'll just take this image, or you know, my cover designer, they sent me a rough sketch. I'll just use that as like as something, because I don't want to duplicate the cover. And that's, I don't think that's really a good way to go about doing it. I mean, like I said before, like your detail, you have to have a detail page that meets expectations. And if people look at the A-plus content and something doesn't quite seem right, like you're just showing a 3D image of the book cover and you have a 2D image above, you know, at the start of the detail page, or, and there's nothing else there, that doesn't quite meet people's expectations for something that's really dynamic. And actually, you know, if you want to see how other types of Amazon sellers are doing this, like go to Instant Pot, search for Instant Pot on Amazon, and you'll see that how they've done some really elaborate A-plus content. They'll use something like not just a picture of the Instant Pot, but they'll have like graphics on the side, limited graphics, or they'll show some, like, you know, opening it up or issue something with that. So people, so these types of publishers are really thinking about that. I've seen some fiction publishers doing things like, you know, it's a romance novel, or here's a good example. It's a mystery novel. So, you know, you think, well, I don't have an artist who can draw the main characters for my mystery novel, but maybe what you can do is you can find some sort of stock photograph, like a lonely looking house on a hill with a spooky tree or something like that. And then maybe, commission a graphic artist just to do some simple changes to that particular piece, that particular graphic, like some theme that's in your book or something like that. And once you have it right and it meets Amazon's image specifications, that could be something that you put up on your A plus detail page.
Yeah. And you mentioned series. I saw that they, first off, they do have examples just on the A plus content page that I thought were really helpful. Right. So I recommend people, you know, just look, whatever, look up Amazon A plus content. And they had some good examples, but one was for like a series and you can create a chart and that kind of like explains maybe the differences and the similarities. And, you know, I thought that was a really interesting way of doing it for like a series specifically to compare the different books in the series.
Yeah, I think so too. You can really do things like that. They have something called a comparison chart, and you can have like, you know, book one, book two, book three, with the cover image of each one, and then you can have like a little chart that, you know, I don't know what it would be for a fiction book, but for your series, you can kind of identify the things that are different about that. In my case, we have some books about Microsoft Office, so Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, and Excel. And for those titles, what I did is I created a comparison chart. So the image at the top is just a 3D version of the book. But below that, I'll say, you know, covers PowerPoint, covers Microsoft Word, covers Excel, talks about the mobile version of these Microsoft apps. And then I'll have check marks next to each one. And people clicking on those images will be taken actually to the specific product page if they're not already looking at it with that version. And actually, that's a good thing. It's another good thing to mention about this. The great thing about having a series, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, your A plus content, you can create one page and then you can apply it to all the books in the series. And this is a huge time saver. And I do have to say, making A plus content, even though it's images and short bits of text, it's actually pretty time consuming. So anything you can do to like reuse A plus content for more than one title, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of, we're talking about things you can do. They have very specific guidelines of what you cannot do. So, mm-hmm. and by the way, they say if you violate these guidelines, they will remove your ASIN. So it was like, I was like, whoa, they're serious about this. So can you, and the list is very long. We don't have to go through the whole list and people should absolutely read the guidelines. But I just want to see if you can talk about some of the kind of the bigger ones that people should watch out for, that it clearly seems like they're like, you know, we do not want you doing this with this type of A-plus content.
Yeah. So Amazon has, as everyone probably knows by now, they have extensive guidelines about what you cannot do for when you're creating metadata or A plus content or anything else for Amazon. And I think they put that scary language in there just to make people sit up and notice, just like you did, that I better be careful about that. So just a couple ones off the top of my head. One thing is that if you mention an award, it can't be an award that's more than 2 years old. They say that. So like, let's say that you won a Ben Franklin through IBPA 5 years ago, you're not supposed to put that on there. If it's in the last year or two, then you can put that on there. And actually, if you've won an award in the last year or two, I would get going on the A-plus content to mention that, because of course, next year or the year afterwards, that award will be older. And by then you won't be able to add it. But I think if it's already on there, they'll just let it stay. They're not gonna clean it up after the fact.
But can I ask you a question? Why would they make that a rule? Like, what does it matter to them if you won an award for the book 5 years ago? I'm just trying to get the mindset.
I think that Amazon is trying to kind of preemptively stop people making grandiose claims about the book that may not be accurate or may not be as important. So one thing that they cracked down on a long time ago is making a bestseller claim. You're not even supposed to use the language bestseller. That's an A-plus thing that you're not supposed to do as well, because that is a claim that, first of all, it's hard to verify. And then also it was just really abused, with people doing all kinds of tricks to get on some supposed bestseller list. Other types of terms, Amazon has very specific terms that you're not supposed to use in your A plus content, or actually anywhere else in your metadata. For instance, you're not supposed to say, you're not supposed to identify a sale or 20% off the regular price or something like that. There's metadata guidelines that apply to books. For instance, you can't create an A plus module that, let's say you're writing a mystery book and you can't say something like, this is the best mystery book since Stephen King's Cujo. You're not supposed to use other people's books in there. There's a huge list on them and a list of things you're not supposed to do. So of course, when you do create A plus content, take a look at that list, take it seriously. Don't get all panicky and paranoid that Amazon's going to shut down your ASIN. I think that unless you're really going over the top, I don't think that's going to be an issue, but just be reasonable and actually try to make something that's informative for the reader without trying to, you know, abuse Amazon's search or something else just to try to get eyeballs and clicks. Cause I think readers and customers on Amazon, they're getting more sophisticated about that. And authenticity, I think, does count for a lot, but also professionalism counts for a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So obviously, as the Amazon expert, I do have other questions about other things related to Amazon, but I do want to just make sure before we move on, is there anything else that you wanted to mention or maybe round out the conversation about why A plus content is something that indie publishers, author publishers should absolutely start jumping on?
Okay, I do have one really important trend thing that relates to A-plus content and Amazon. So one thing that's happening with Amazon now is more and more shoppers, they're not starting their shopping experience on the desktop version of Amazon. Mm. They're starting it on the Amazon mobile app. And very interestingly to me, Amazon treats A-plus content differently on desktop versus mobile. On mobile, if you have a book description, just your standard book description that you created with your KDP book, it's way at the bottom of the mobile page. Like you have to scroll down past like four or five screen lengths to get to it. Therefore, it's not really important. And so basically what Amazon is telling not only shoppers, but also publishers and sellers on Amazon is that for the mobile experience, don't worry about the description. Really concentrate on the cover image or the main product image. And then things like the number of reviews, whether it's Prime, the price, things like that. Because a lot of mobile shoppers, they're just making a decision, just looking at the very top of what's going on. They're not scrolling all the way to the bottom. But for A plus content, for the mobile experience, they really moved those modules kind of right below the price information. So people are much more likely on the mobile experience to see the A plus content you create. And because it's so visual, it has pictures and kind of headlines and subtitles and things like that, it's really, really visible to people. So when you're creating that content, keep that in mind. That's something that mobile shoppers are much more likely to see, maybe even than they would see on the desktop version. So I think that's something to keep in mind. And that's a trend that will keep on taking place. Like more and more people will be shopping for things on mobile. And you have to really think of the things that show up near the top of the mobile experience, not so much the stuff that is forced down to the bottom.
Well, you've mentioned Amazon Prime a few times. So
yep.
I didn't realize there was some other special way that you can put your books through like Amazon Prime. Can you explain that?
Well, so if you're using one of Amazon's programs where either they're printing the book for you or they're available in an Amazon fulfillment center, and a fulfillment center is just a warehouse that Amazon uses, it counts as Prime. If it's being fulfilled through some other third party, or maybe there's a couple other steps that take place before it gets to the shopper, it will not be Amazon Prime. A lot of people, they look for the little Prime check mark before they make a purchase because they know it's supposed to get to them in a relatively short period of time. So if you're using Amazon KDP, or you're using Amazon Advantage, or you're using one of these special programs for publishers who have distributors, it should be Amazon Prime, assuming that it's in a warehouse someplace or it's within Amazon's POD system and it's ready to be printed and sent out to you. If you're using some other sort of fulfillment service, it probably won't be Amazon Prime.
Okay, great. Thank you for clarifying that. So a few years ago, Amazon started allowing third-party sellers to win the buy buttons. And I wanted to ask, well, so that, you know, hurts publishers, and I've unfortunately dealt with that myself. So I wanted to see, is there any update on this? I mean, is this just the way it is now? Or is there anything publishers can do to win back the buy button?
Yeah, so Amazon made some changes that are unfortunately on the whole negative for sellers. I will say this. Sometimes when another seller wins the buy box, it's not necessarily a bad thing because they're actually sourcing it through Ingram. And they basically cut down the price low enough where it tells Amazon, oh, this is the lowest price, so we're going to give it to that particular seller. But assuming that you've actually set up the Ingram connection, you'll be paid for it. Mm-hmm. What you need to be thinking about, though, is maybe the discount that you set up on Ingram is so low that you're undercutting whatever the pricing that you've set up on Amazon. So for me, I really pay attention to that because I do not want third-party sellers, even if they're sourcing through Ingram, to own the buy box. I want to own that buy box and that I want my KDP listing to get that. The other thing, however, that's really negative and really bothers me a lot is by opening up the buy box to third-party sellers, they're letting third-party sellers who are not that honest basically say, oh, I have this book. It's a used book, but I'm gonna sell it as new on Amazon. And they will get the buy box because they can undercut you no matter what. And what I've done from time to time is when I see people like this popping up, I'll buy the book just to see what's going on there. Because it's possible, actually, that they bought the book legitimately through another source, maybe through a bookshop was getting rid of clearance items or something like that. Mm-hmm. I want to see. One time I bought a copy of LinkedIn 30 Minutes by one of my authors, Angela Rose. It was like $5, way below our sticker price of $11.99 or $12.99. Mm-hmm. And this book came to me, it was shrink wrapped and there was the used sticker on it. Yet this seller was claiming it was new. And it really infuriated me. Of course, Amazon's seller support, publisher support, they don't want to do anything about that. This seller was able to get away with it, even though I you know, left a comment about the seller that this person sold me something as new, even though it was used. And it's and IBPA has actually been great trying to advocate against this particular trend for years. Mm-hmm. But Amazon doesn't really listen anymore. They're you know, in the grand scheme of things, Amazon's at the top, customers are second, publishers and sellers and everybody else is third. And you know, when it's a dispute between Amazon system or between two different sellers, they generally go with whatever seller is offering the lowest price. And that's kind of the problem with doing things on Amazon. And actually, I'll use this opportunity to say, for any publisher, your goal should not be to get more sales on Amazon. It's a nice thing if it happens. Your goal should be trying to establish your own brand on the web, on digital channels, and get people coming to you directly instead of trying to find out all about you through Amazon. Of course, some readers will go to Amazon only to find out about a particular title, and you should have a good presence on there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you should be developing your own mailing list, your own website, your own selling infrastructure, so you can have that relationship with the customer directly instead of Amazon being the mediator of everything and trying to undercut you at practically every step.
Yeah. Well, that's great advice as well. So I also wanted to ask about Amazon Advantage. They stopped allowing publishers and just companies in general to sign up a while ago. And I just, before our interview, I went back on and sure enough, it's still not available. So, I mean, is that going to happen again? Or is that just going to go away and they're just pretending that they're going to, because it says on the site, don't worry, it'll come back. But that's been a while.
Yeah, it's been years. And actually, this is probably the number one question I get about Amazon.
Yeah.
When will Advantage open back up? At first I thought that Amazon was going to merge Advantage with one of their other programs like Amazon Seller Central. They didn't do that, even though they've made the interface look similar. I just think Amazon Advantage is one of these neglected programs. They probably shut off the spigot because they didn't want to deal with people who were not experienced book publishers getting in there, because you really need to be doing offset print runs in order to take advantage of Amazon Advantage. I don't think it's going to come back. I wouldn't hold out your hopes for doing that. For publishers who are just doing print on demand anyways, there's no reason to get hopeful about Amazon Advantage. It's really for publishers who are doing offset print runs, which my company does, and it works okay for me. It's not the best program. There's a lot of limitations to it, but it's for what I do, it works out okay.
Yeah, on the Amazon Advantage page, it says you could sign up for Amazon Marketplace instead. So maybe you can, what is that? Or should you just do that instead? Or like you said, if you're POD, you don't even need to do that.
Yeah. So Amazon Marketplace, I think what they're talking about is Amazon Seller Central. Uh-huh. And they have a couple different tiers of that. And Amazon Seller Central, that is used by publishers sometimes to get rid of old stock. You can list a book on there. The thing that's tricky about that, selling books through Amazon Seller Central, whether they're used or new, generally you have to think about the Amazon chart. So if you're sending in a book, like let's say you have a box of books offset printed, and you send them to Amazon Seller Central for them to distribute for you, unless the book has a really high sticker price, it's not going to work out for you, because Amazon, first of all, they charge a lot of money for fulfilling it for you. That depends on the weight of the object, and also they charge for things like storage. So I don't think that's a really a viable option for a lot of publishers either, unless they have a really, you know, a respectable list price and a good margin. And for a lot of publishers who are just getting started, maybe they haven't worked out the pricing that far. Maybe they're trying to undercut everybody else by having a low price, and it really doesn't make a lot of sense. So POD actually is a really great avenue for publishers who are just getting started, and even some established publishers who want another way to sell, for instance, backlist, or they ran out of offset printed costs. But I wouldn't make selling offset printed books through Amazon Seller Central or even Amazon Advantage a really big priority, unless there's something where you have a really healthy margin and you can make the economics of it work.
Great. So I also wanted to ask about Kindle Unlimited. So I don't know where you stand. I think I might have an idea of where you might stand on that. For anybody who can't see this, he put a thumbs down. I wanted to ask. I will say it's helpful for discoverability. I had my first book on Kindle Unlimited for like a few years, and through IBPA, I've learned so much about expanding where you distribute your book and sell it. And I decided, okay, so I started putting it on BarnesandNoble.com and IngramSpark and all that. But then I did see my sales on Amazon go down a bit. And I realized, I was like, oh, I think they were finding out about my book a lot through Kindle Unlimited. So anyway, I just wanted to ask, what your thoughts are on that. If publishers should or should not do it, or, you know, what the benefits might be or the negative aspects.
Right. So Kindle Unlimited, for those folks who don't know, that's a subscription plan available to Amazon customers where you pay a monthly subscription fee, and then you get to read as many books as you want. And the way that Amazon is trying to get content into Kindle Unlimited is telling people who participate in the KDP program that if they participate in a subset of KDP called KDP Select, their book will be in Kindle Unlimited, available for people to easily download. And like you said, Christopher, Amazon will help out these books by putting them more prominently in search and, you know, making them more visible. The bad things about Kindle Unlimited and KDP Select are, first of all, you're not getting paid by the download. You're getting paid by the number of pages read, and it's a minuscule amount of money. So for my books, most of which I sell for between $12.99 and $14.99 paperback, or maybe $7.99 and $9.99 for the Kindle edition, switching from $7.99 for a single download to, you know, 1/1000th of a cent for people reading a couple pages of that book just doesn't make sense. The only people it really makes sense for, in my opinion, are publishers who are they're able to reach thousands and thousands of readers, and therefore the little thousands of a cent will start to add up into something respectable. But for, I think, 98% of authors and publishers, Kindle Unlimited is a bad idea. It devalues books. It also restricts you from publishing your ebook on other platforms. As KDP Select, one of the conditions is you cannot publish your ebook on Apple, can't publish it on Google Play, can't publish it on Kobo, can't publish it anywhere else, only on Kindle Unlimited. And I think that's another reason not to do it. If you want more opinions about Kindle Unlimited, one source to go to actually is Mark Coker of Smashwords, who has been railing against this for years. And I agree with him 100%. It's just devaluing books. And I'll add to that, any other sort of subscription service is probably going to devalue your content. And that includes Spotify, which recently announced that they're going to be taking, for instance, audiobooks into their system. And, you know, I feel sorry for the audiobook publishers who spend a lot of money creating an audiobook version. And now it's just going to, they're going to be getting, you know, a fraction of a cent per listen. And it's just a bad trend. I'm really against that.
I know. It's one of the difficult things is that it's so much, I mean, so I'm a consumer too, right? So having subscription services for like music and all that, like, you know, it is kind of cool to be able just to go on and listen to anything or whatever. But then as a content creator, I'm like, musicians are getting barely anything and authors and publishers. I mean, it's like, how do we find a middle ground where we want customers to enjoy consuming our products in an easy manner, but not, like you said, devaluing how many years and thousands of dollars it takes to create this content. I almost feel like we're just getting to a place where people in their head, they're thinking as if they should get this content for free. Like somehow they're like, well, yep. You know, I just want to watch stuff and read stuff. I don't want to, you know, and you're like, how do you think people, like, you know, like people are creating this, you know, it takes a lot of effort and money to create it. I don't know how we stop that mindset, because it feels like we're getting worse and worse rather than like leveling out with that.
It's true. And you know what, in different types of creative industries, whether it's music or film or books, publishers and the creators have been pretty clever about finding ways to monetize what they're doing, even if one of their avenues serves mostly as a promotional avenue. And to give you an example, years ago, you know, when I was growing up, we could hear music for free on the radio and just turn it on, listen to the latest pop tunes. But what they were doing, that was serving as a promotional vehicle for purchasing a piece of plastic, the record or the CD or the cassette. And that's how they would make their money. Nowadays with streaming and also with these subscription plans for books, there's really nothing else. Like if you're giving away your book for a fraction of a cent per read to readers, like what else do you have? Maybe they'll recommend it to their friends. Maybe it'll help your book get a little bit higher in Amazon's algorithm. Maybe they'll get the next book in the series. But all right, instead of getting a fraction of a cent, you're getting two times a fraction of a cent for the two books. And I just don't think that's really a workable thing. What I do see happening now is a lot of creators are getting pretty smart about how to get the most out of their presence on Spotify or Kindle Unlimited or whatever it may be by having other types of things. Musicians, for instance, until last year, they were able to tour a lot, but they can't do that. What else can they do? Well, they can have a limited edition, a vinyl disc that they can sell. They can, you know, who knows what it could be, an autographed edition of a book or something like that. But you really have to be somewhat established, I think, for that to work. And for people who are just getting started, it's, you know, you're really putting yourself at a disadvantage in my opinion. And I don't support this trend. And I'm always looking for ways to kind of increase my business in other ways. If it looks like I'm being forced into something where I have to give up content for free or almost next to nothing, I don't think I'm ever going to publish on Kindle Unlimited if I can avoid it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, there's so much to ask you about. I mean, I have all kinds of other questions, but I will have to call it a day today. But I can't tell you how much I appreciated your wealth of knowledge on Amazon. Whenever our members from IBPA ask me about Amazon, I say you should watch the videos that you've created, because they're really great. They're on YouTube. Maybe you can say what's your YouTube channel called?
Yeah, so if you Google Lean Media on YouTube, you'll see my channel, and I have all kinds of videos about using KDP, about using Amazon advertising, even Amazon Advantage, and other types of e-commerce platforms. So they're kind of really kind of mirroring what I've just said today, but also some very specific things about how to use these particular tools. Another thing I'd like to mention is that for IBPA PubU, I regularly speak at these events, either virtual or in person, to talk about Amazon. I do something called an Amazon deep dive, and actually, that's the plan for the next PubU taking place in April. I will be doing my Amazon deep dive, and I hope that if people are really interested in this stuff, like the things I've been talking about today, plus other types of Amazon programs like Amazon advertising, I love sharing my knowledge, and I'll be there with the IBPA crew and hopefully meeting some of you. So I hope to see you in April.
Yes, yeah. And you're doing the IBPA Publishing University, you're doing the in-person in Orlando, California, correct?
Orlando, Florida, unless there's a...
What did I say? California? Sorry. Yes, Orlando, Florida. I live in California. Yes, Orlando, Florida. Maybe it was wishful thinking that I could just stay at home and still do it. Yep. Yes, it's Orlando, Florida. You'll be doing... And those are... the in-person are actually longer sessions. They're like... We really wanted, like you said, deep dive. We wanted the in-person to have a different feel than the virtual component, which is April 20th and 21st. We want people to go to both, but those are kind of... shorter sessions. The in-person are going to be these deep dives into these issues. And like you said, you've done this before, and I've only heard great things from people about them. So we appreciate you for coming back and speaking at the conference.
Well, thank you. And I'm glad to participate as always.
Yeah. Okay. So everyone, make sure to check out i30 Media Corporation's amazing books. He mentioned them. They have In 30 Minutes, all kinds of great topics. It's leanmedia.org, leanmedia.org. And we appreciate you for listening to this podcast. This is sponsored by Independent Book Publishers Association. Please visit us at ibpa-online.org. We'd love for you to become a member, learn about how to succeed as an independent publisher and author publisher. And please subscribe to this podcast. It's the last Thursday of every month that it comes out, but you'll know if you subscribe. So again, Ian, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Christopher. Bye-bye.